even though I know y'all have tried to explain it to me numerous times, I'm still not convinced that we know the difference between baking, broiling, and roasting, specifically because Justin keeps saying that bread is used for baking, which I agree with. I agree with that.
Bread.
I agree.
Okay. I'm glad. And it would be roasting so is for wild chicken. If you disagreed with that, that would be the wildest thing ever.
Okay, and roasting's for chicken.
Roasting's for chicken, but
so far, and non-dough products.
Sure. So I agree with both of those things, but
thank you.
Just saying you use like this for one and this for other does not define the difference between baking and roasting.
If I cut a limb off of you, that's an amputation.
Yes.
If I cut a limb off a tree, I'm gardening.
No.
It matters what you're doing the action to.
If you cut a limb off of Frush in a hospital when he needs it, it's amputation.
Oh, wow.
If you cut a limb off of Frush when he doesn't need it, it's a crime.
What about when he deserves it? This is something that a lot of people are kind of on the fence about.
I don't think you deserve to have your arm amputated, Russ.
I'm not saying he does.
I think he didn't say arm.
It's marketing.
That's how they get you with it.
Yes.
It's a marketing thing.
That's what I'm saying. They're trying to sell different kinds of heat, and it's bullshit.
Why is it? Can I make a point?
Yeah.
None of this is funny.
Yeah.
None of it.
I was just thinking the same thing. That's so weird.
So weird.
I just want to get the word out.
I know we're worried about humor here, but I do want to confirm that baking is 250 to 375 degrees Fahrenheit, roasting is 450 degrees Fahrenheit, and broiling is 500 to 500.
That doesn't track.
It's an arbitrary decision.
I'm just saying that I went directly to the Maytag man, and the Maytag man is in my house right now.
He's part of the problem.
Yeah,
the
Maytag big oven.
He's big oven.
Oh no, here comes Maytag man.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant. I am here for you this week.
My name is Russ Rush. Again, I know the best game of the week.
This week on the Besties, American McGee is back with Tiny Tina's Wonderland. Headed back through the looking glass for another gothic adventure. No, it has nothing to do with American McGee, American McGee's Alice, or any such property. It is a Borderlands spinoff, technically, I guess, a spinoff of the Borderlands DLC, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. It is new. It's from Gearbox. And Chris, what is it?
I mean, you just said it all. It's a first-person shooter multiplayer, but you nailed it all.
Let's take a break, and we will be right back to talk about Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Who got the most Borderlands, like, under their belt? Are any of you like big Borderlands fans?
I've played many dozens of hours of both Borderlands 1 and Borderlands 2, and I even played the pre-sequel on Switch, so I've played a lot of Borderlands. I haven't played 3, to be clear, but
I heard 3 is pretty rough.
Yeah, I also heard that.
I'm in the same boat. I never got like Destiny deep up in one of them, but I think I've played like all except for 3.
I'm not sure I've completed one, but I spent a lot of time in them. But this is a sort of a breath of fresh air. You're no longer in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. You are in a fantasy world designed by Tiny Tina, a beloved character from the Borderlands franchise. And in this game, you are in a sort of like Dungeons and Dragons game of Tina's creation. You are playing with her and Andy Samberg and Wanda Sykes, just like all those dreams I've had my whole life where I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons with Wanda Sykes. So it's nice to see that finally come to fruition. I mean, that's the bet. And there's a bad guy, too. It's
Will Arnett. Yes.
Yeah.
Is the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like a fantasy shooter, like the construct of Borderlands. With like more fantasy trappings.
Yeah. So I remember the first announcement of this. And first, I like, even though Tiny Tina was in it, I didn't really grok that it was a Borderlands game. It actually took me a really long time to realize that it's called Wonderlands because it's like Borderland. It's like the Lands series.
Oh my God, this exact moment is when I was getting
that. Woof, guys. Woofta.
And I was wondering, like, why that is. Why wouldn't they just call it, like, Tiny Tina's Borderlands D&D Adventure or whatever? Probably not D&D, but, like, you know what I mean. And it occurred to me, and I confirm this, that this is a T-rated game, and all of the other Borderlands games are heavy M-rated games, mature only. And I think they wanted to basically create an offshoot of this extremely popular shooter franchise that... like people that aren't, you know, relative adults could play. Yeah.
I don't notice that kind of thing, but that's interesting that, that was maybe part of the design.
That also makes sense because the humor doesn't feel like it's for grown-ups anyway.
Yeah, it definitely...
like any Borderlands game.
Well, it definitely seems like it is aiming for a more, a younger audience in the in the humor. So I agree with you.
Let's talk about the humor. We'll just start there and then we'll get into the other thing.
There's a lot of it.
There's a, well... there's a lot of jokes.
There's a lot of jokes.
I don't want to, I mean, I think it's weird to dictate, you know, what is and isn't funny. That's going to hit people differently. Here's what this is a revelation that I had while playing this game, and I would love to get your ass thoughts on. I think that this sort of humor has been part of this sort of game for a very long time, and I think that it is doomed from the very first time, and it will never work. And this is what I mean by that. This idea of, like, people throwing off one-liners that are supposed to be humorous in reaction to the things you find in an open-world setting, it is never going to be funny. Comedy, like, is so much about the timing and when, like, something happens and timing that joke exactly right. And, like, having a bunch of, like, quote-unquote jokes that trigger from your actions in the world is never going to land. It doesn't matter if the joke's funny or not funny. It can't be funny in a vacuum, which is what this is relying on for so much of the humor in the game. To say nothing of the fact that one joke, even if it lands with you, you will almost certainly hear it repeated. And nothing is funny the second time. Like, that will never work.
It's like, I mean, it's more...
you're going to laugh the second time at it.
I think that there's actually a great comparison here, and I don't know if you like this sort of thing, but it reminds me of sitcoms. In that, like, I don't feel like sitcoms rely so much on timing. They rely on volume. It's just how many jokes can we get in, and a general feeling of, like, oh, this is a nice... place to hang out. And you talk about, like, hearing the same joke over and over again in sitcoms. You hear the same structure of a joke endless times, and then there are jokes that they actually do just repeat over and over as catchphrases
for sure, but, like, there are timed to what is happening, you know what I mean? Like, no, it's timed specifically to the events.
I agree. I just would say it's, like, less timed because, again, I don't feel like they care as much so long as they get the mandatory, you know, like, whatever the mathematical algorithm is of 50 jokes in a 30-minute episode.
I do want to address the timing thing, because not to, again, go down this, like, rabbit hole, but there are moments that I think really land quite well in this when the narrative, which is delivered by Tiny Tina, she's the DM, and is basically, like, explaining the events of what's happening in this, like, D&D-style adventure, will be like the first time that it jumped out at me was you sort of arrive at this giant castle and she's like, and then the skeletons showed up and then the giant warships. And as she's saying these things, they're like dropping into existence.
Yeah.
Like that stuff I think works really well. And I kind of wish there was more of it.
Yeah. The things that are more scripted like that. It's Tiny Tina is played by Ashley Birch, who played Aloy in the Horizon games.
She's got range.
And in addition to a bajillion other things.
Yeah.
But I think that she really, like, helps with the charisma of that to help keep it sort of, like, light and fun in that way.
It's endearing. Like, even when the jokes don't land from, you know, any character or any direction that they're coming from, because they come at you from all directions all the time, it is, I was constantly endeared by, like, this little girl is, like, trying to walk you through this, like, fantasy world that she's very enthusiastic about, which I did
think
not
expect. She's probably a teenager at this point, right?
Okay. Well, I did not expect that, like, kind of almost sweet natured storytelling from time to time, wrapped in a heavy layer of like butt jokes.
Yeah, there's a lot of butt jokes. It genuinely makes me wonder, like, if I was a 10 to 12 year old, like, is this not my total wheelhouse? It might be. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
The only thing that is I wonder about that is, like, Borderlands, it's weird. I just said that it's for younger people, but there's something about it that's, like, late millennial, almost early Gen X type of, like, goofy humor.
I mean, it's the people that are writing it, so that tracks.
Yeah, well, we talked about it with Psychonauts, too. And I don't know. I'm curious if kids find this, like, cringe or... if it works. I don't know.
I mean, there are some things that hit me with a wave of cringe that, like, I had to set the controller down. The first time my main character cast magic and yelled, spell yeah. And then the 10th time they did it, I was really in a rough place. I think emotionally I had to take a second for myself. And it's just... that's so much of the character of this game. I wish that they didn't feel... it's this other thing of, like, not everything has to be, like, a quote-unquote joke. Not everything has to... like, so many of the names are just, like, have butt or some other, like, sort of goofy thing randomly inserted in there as, like, a substitute for humor. Like, joke adjacent.
That's pretty funny.
I don't... look, you know if you like Borderlands jokes or not. I don't want to get lost in the sauce a little bit.
Should we talk about the guns? Because the guns are...
yeah, let's talk about the actual gameplay, because I think we've analyzed
it's
it.
It's got guns.
Again, I would say, like, you know, I was talking at the earlier in the show about how I was surprised that this was a Borderlands game. And I was... when I started playing it again, I was... even more surprised at just how Borderlands it is if you remove the, like, theming of it, because, like, functionally, it is exactly, I would say 95% of it is exactly like the gameplay of a Borderlands game, which is not a bad thing. A lot of people love I have played a lot of Borderlands, and I love those games. But it is worth noting, like, if you're expecting, like, a more RPG bent to it, there really isn't one. They're just, like, not.
Yeah, there is a leveling up system, and it is very confusing as to what exactly each of the skills are, like, what you would want to increase in a given moment.
Yeah, that's an example of something that has been in Borderlands from the beginning and always felt kind of weak to me, because you get interesting, like, character builds and stuff like that, but it takes many, many hours to get there. Early on, you're just like, oh, I want 2% more gun damage, or
that's it.
It's 3% more health. Like, it's kind of a, you know, it's one of those situations.
Granular in a way that is, like, really tough to appreciate. When if your game in even the early stages, if I level up and feel nothing, like, that's not a great sign that the progression hook in your game is strong. But, like, when I level up and I'm like, oh, okay, I can increase my melee attack speed by 8% and increase my status effect damage by 2%.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit? I was very disappointed that that was not, I don't know, maybe I just assumed because of the fantasy trappings that there would be a little bit more RPG.
I just thought they'd take a little more risks with the back end. And they do take some risks with, like, Borderlands format. There's, like, this, like, an overworld, like, board game almost, where you march around and, like, have little quest things going on with, like, even
cool
random
idea,
encounters.
In an open world, as a cool idea of doing an open world where it's, like, cutting down on the amount of, like, getting from A to B, at least making that kind of different and fun. I think it's a really smart idea.
It's got big Toy Story energy too. Like, you knock down bottle caps to form bridges. Yeah, like, all that stuff is neat.
Yeah.
Find a big Cheeto blocking your path. It's fun.
I also wanted to say I really liked making my character, which is a first for a Borderlands game. I mean, Borderlands traditionally has, like, very locked down characters because it's, like, the classes and you can't really customize them that much early on. And here you had, like, full control over so much of it, from, like, you know, facial scars to preferred pronouns to, you know, for the body type section. So in Days of Yore, this was, like, male or female, basically. And now they just say under body type, this or that, which is just, like,
yeah, this
great.
One or that one. Yeah.
This cool. one or that one, which I think is a really great touch.
There's also an option to disable slider limiting,
Oh, we need to like, fuck with that, Jude.
I know. I really liked that. I was really torn about the gun. Like, I will say, like, again, this is a Borderlands game. Like, the pistols are like crossbows, but like they're pistols. Yeah. Like, they look a little bit like crossbows, but they're pistols. So, like,
wow, they can't get nothing past you, Juice.
I know, yeah, I know, man. No, I just didn't want people to think that I'm like, I mean, the first thing you get is a crossbow, but it's like a small crossbow, it's a pistol.
Yeah.
It's fun. But a lot of the guns don't look anything like a fantasy weapon. They just look like a reskin Borderlands gun. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, there's assault rifles and shotguns and all that stuff. There is a sword, or a melee weapon, I guess you'd say, but it's really not that important.
You can have a melee, but like there's classes that have, that they all have some level of importance depending on what kind of build you're going for. But again, sure. Like okay. That's Borderlands. Like it is, there's not a whole lot of newness.
I was very put off by, I like the speed at which you get new gear. I think that that's cool. I also think that it's neat that it doesn't like, you really don't get locked into like one gear setup for too long because you're constantly finding something that's incrementally better.
Yeah.
I don't like how much time I spent in menus managing my equipment. So like every time that there would be a big fight, you know, it would drop 30 pieces of gear and then I have to go into the menu and manually check each piece of gear to see if it's better than the one I'm wearing. And if it's not, then I have to press the left thumbstick to mark it as junk. And I'm like doing that management constantly. And I just wish there was a button that's like, put all the best stuff on me and put everything else in the trash.
Yeah.
I hated that level of like micromanaging my equipment.
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't think it was this game that they added it. I think it was Borderlands 2 maybe, where they added the concept of a gear score where it like gives you a number of how good a thing is. And that's super useful. Like it's a very shorthand way to do that. But this is another area where I just wish, like, they're taking chances. It's a new, quote unquote, new franchise. Just like, let me just sell shit from my inventory or give me infinite inventory slots. Like why there's a carry weight limitation just doesn't make any sense to me.
Into bullets. That's the, you know, as a possibility, just like something like
here's the great thing though. This game has online multiplayer and you can play co-op with each other and it has split screen. And
yeah,
I feel like for a lot of people, Borderlands, more Borderlands with those two options is like quite literally all you need.
Yeah,
it feels good. Like I don't want to be like reductive like that. I'm not saying that all of our feelings, good and bad, aren't important. I'm just saying, honestly, I might end up playing a lot more of this game than other stuff this year, just because I'm like, you know, move to a new city, lonely boy, need to spend time with friends, and this is a great way to do it. And I don't know, there was a while where I felt like we were getting a lot of that with shooters, but I can't think of the last time.
Not really. Yeah.
Yeah, Fortnite is available, and maybe just people don't want to try to compete with it.
I would wonder how it is doing co-op with. So I play completely by myself. I would wonder how it is doing co-op with somebody with that gear management going on, because I feel like that would be very, very irritating.
I did it
to constantly have
it
to wait.
I did for it with my wife. We play Borderlands 2 on our Vita or something like that together, and I will say
the way God intended.
And I will say, it's not the best. Like, there are definitely moments where it's just like the other person is like obsessing over which shotgun to take, and you just want to get shit done. That oftentimes, for what it's worth, I was the one obsessing.
I was gonna say that sounds a lot more like you than it does your wife.
Yeah. But I would say I was looking back. So the original Borderlands came out in 2009, which at this point is 13 years ago. And there are probably people that were, let's say, in their like mid to late teens when the original Borderlands came out, who now have kids and maybe want to play something like that with their kids, but do not feel comfortable playing a game where like people get melted by acid or burned alive.
Sure.
And here you're just fighting skeletons and ghosts and zombies or whatever other fantasy tropes there are. I mean, it's still T-rated because you are still, I guess, firing guns and stuff, but it is definitely nice.
There's a lot of people in my family, in the Midwest, who will not let their kids play Call of Duty, who will let them play Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I feel like that's the difference here. I also just, it's wild when you say the original Borderlands came out in 2009. Fresh, were you at the original press preview for this?
I was at a press preview somewhere in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there was like in the middle of like I'm sure now it's like some super expensive corner of Brooklyn, but it was like not a, it was like, I don't know, like some old factory or something. It was a weird spot for an event. And I remember seeing this game and being like, this is nothing. Like, why did they spend so much money on an event for this? What is this? And then it ended up being the biggest thing.
Oh, I was totally sold at that event.
You
I
sold
knew
on?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, because I had loved Diablo at that point. So yeah. The idea of Diablo plus the shooter was, I played just a metric ton of that game, both at the event and when it came out. So I get it. Chris Plant just doesn't have vision is really what it came
down to. That's true. Also, it looked like Dookie.
It doesn't make sense to me that I'm not deeply into Borderlands and never have been, because it hits all of the, on paper, like all the stuff I love. Like
it's the goofs.
I genuinely don't think that's it though. I think I can put up with bad goofs. It's that the feel of the game has never really clicked for me. Like it's, and that's like a very granular thing to get into, because every shooter has like a different pace and a different time to kill and a different like emphasis on abilities versus, you know, the skill of the player. And it just feels like Borderlands kind of has the like Final Fantasy 14 problem, where when it first launched, nobody had played World of Warcraft or any of the other MMOs that had come out since like the last one that they released. And so it just feels like, it feels weirdly antiquated in a world where like a lot in a Warframe, Destiny, I almost said Anthem, but that would have been humiliating.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, this format of Borderlands, I mean, in the same way that Borderlands 3, part of the reason that it got a little bit shredded was because the expectation, it had been 5 or 6 or however many years since Borderlands 2, the expectation was that there was some evolution of the format and not just like a, we're going to keep hammering this format over and over again. And here they are basically doing it again with a different coat of paint. And
the changes
are just not especially
impactful. It did not feel like a very, very different experience from when I played, you know, Borderlands 2 for a long time.
Yeah.
I felt myself really wanting, and this could just be the types of games I've been playing lately, but in the, like big fights, the ones that are supposed to be challenging, I felt like so much of the fights were more about like my numbers versus their numbers. Like I would love, and just like firing off my special ability whenever, you know, the ticker went up. I kind of wished that there was a little bit more of a dynamic element to the combat, to where like some sort of like block or counter or something to like bring you in a little bit more. Cause it's like, it feels a little flat.
And again, I think that's always been an issue with Borderlands, which is you get those points much later in the game. Once your build is developed and you get action skills and active abilities and stuff like that, where you can be more engaged with it early on. All you're really doing is like shooting your guns and throwing grenades, in this case spells. And yeah, I want a little more of that front loaded, would be great. But that being said, I did have a little mushroom companion that ran around after me and shredded guys up. So that was pretty good.
Yeah. I started a few characters for this very reason. Cause I was like, I don't feel anything different from the last, I don't feel anything like this feels indiscernible from Borderlands. I wonder if there is a class that is like, you know, wildly different gameplay experience, because I don't really like the shooting and all that stuff. So is there one that is like has way less emphasis? And the answer is like, yes, there's a spellcaster one that focuses mostly on spells, and you can like build them to a point where, you know, their shit recharges so fast you don't even need to use guns. Or there's the melee build that, like, you know, they heal themselves so quickly and attack so quickly and have reduced damage whenever they're close to enemies, so you can just run around chopping. And it's like, that's awesome. But you're not going to get to that until you level up a bunch. And you can multi-class in the game and, like, have one of these very specific builds. And until then, it's what you would expect from a
just takes a while.
Yeah.
So I would say put a bow on it. If you like Borderlands and you want more of what you're familiar with Borderlands, you should probably just pick this up and be very happy, because there's plenty to like on that front. If you've got a younger gamer in your life and you've always been worried about having them play a Borderlands game because of the violence, this is somewhat of a solve for that. But if you're kind of done with Borderlands because you feel like you've done it, Yeah, probably not for you.
I also feel like I was paying too close attention to it the way I was playing it.
Too close attention. You were trying to like min-max it like Elden Ring.
More just like I wasn't also like, this is going to sound derogatory, but I don't mean it to. I wasn't also like smoking weed and talking to a friend. Like, it feels like, don't pay that closely. You're overthinking.
Yeah, I think,
it, you know what I mean? Like,
I think that is right.
A little bit.
I would like go in my inventory, and I think in past games, I would, as I mentioned, obsess over like shotguns. And here I was like, that's the first 5 hours. I'm just going to like throw away everything that's under gear score 100, basically. And that's fine. Like, you will not get hurt by doing that. I think you should kind of adopt a YOLO mentality because everything is reversible and not a big deal.
Using the kids' language.
YOLO.
Yeah, YOLO.
Cringe.
I got a YOLO mentality. Guys,
we're going to YOLO real quick, and then we're going to YOLO right back after this YOLO. YOLO.
So we've seen Tiny Tina's Wonderlands manage to take what is effectively a very hard M-rated video game franchise and make it a little nicer, a little more welcoming, a T rating. I'm going to challenge you to go a little bit further to that extent. Let's make an E rated version of Doom. How do we do that?
Who is it for? I guess E for
children.
E for everyone.
Yes. E for everyone.
Okay. So the classic way of doing this, and I feel like we need to talk about the easiest way of doing it first, because sure, that way we don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
Is to make it a biology thing, right?
Oh.
So like history is littered with blast the germ.
Sure.
Blast the polyps.
Blast the checks.
Blast the checks. Blast the tartar off the teeth, you know. That kind of thing is one possible. We need a metaphor for shooting that isn't like killing. You know what I mean? And that, I feel like that.
I mean, they are killing the germs, but I get what you mean. So really,
yeah. But they have no soul.
Or there's the checks quest route, right?
Right.
Where it's, you got to eat those sweet, sweet alien checks.
Or the Noah's Ark route, where you're feeding crackers to ducks or whatever.
There has to be a gun. It's not a Doom if there's not a gun.
Well, right, how do we rebrand the gun to be something a little more family-friendly?
We're doing the fucking NRA's job for them right now, is basically, how do we make guns less like, you know, a gun?
Well, could it be a pencil, and maybe they're like doing their homework on the enemies?
Oh, that's
and teaching
great.
Them that way.
No. What if it is these like picket fences that are the enemies, right? And they're surrounding you, and you have a gun that sprays whitewash on it. And then after the kid did it, you like, lesson learned, kid. I tricked you into painting the fence.
Like, you take the VR helmet off, uh-huh, and it's fully Ender's Game. Like, yes, you did actually paint my fence.
And learn about Tom Sawyer in the process.
It wasn't a simulation. Tom Sawyer 2022 actually makes it so you paint my fence at the end of it. I like that.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that you're not supposed to put VR helmets on kids, though.
What?
While you hand them real pay.
My kids are fine.
Yeah, my kids got a huge head and great eyes.
It's powerful.
Powerful
eyes.
Eyeballs.
Yeah, it does need a lesson, right? Like, you can't make a game for kids without it, like, teaching them.
Yeah.
You know who it's been a while since I've talked to is my old friend Math Blaster. And we could do, like, a sort of a... I mean, we could do Math Blaster, but with, like, a story... Or Number Muncher? No, probably Math Blaster has more Doom DNA in it.
Yeah, you have Blaster in there, right?
Hello, Griffin. It's your dear friend Math Blaster.
Oh, Math Blaster, it's been a minute. How are you doing, bud?
Oh, my back, it hurts.
Yeah.
And I ran out of the pills. I haven't been able to go to Costco.
All that time in zero gravity must have done a real number on your bones, Math Blaster.
They're so frail now that I've returned to Mother Gaia.
Math Blaster, are you still living in a floppy disk?
Oh, no, I left the floppy disk so many years ago.
Now,
I live in
a
CD-ROM now on AOL.
It says here that you had you did have a Facebook game back in like 2017, and that was huge for you, it seems like.
Oh,
What's wrong, so Math Blaster?
The notifications.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four.
Well, Math Blaster, you didn't just five, count. You're not the count. You did six. Math. Okay.
Yeah, there was math too.
Plus one, plus two.
This character, Chris, is really bumping up against the fact that I feel like you don't know a whole lot about Math Blaster.
That does seem evident.
Math,
he does know
blast.
Counting, so that's a start.
Yeah.
It's a blast. It's a graveyard bash. He did the match.
What? Right. Okay.
Now,
so on Mars specifically, is there any need for math?
Yes.
Because I don't want to change the environments. That seems like too much work, too.
Yes. Do you have any other questions about Mars?
That,
no.
That was not as much of a question for Math Blaster as it was the room.
Who's lived on Mars, and the only question you have to ask is math still useful? Yes. So,
it feels like the character you're doing is an older man who walked into our studio and then pretended to be Math Blaster, which is
but
like
didn't
has
know anything
layered,
about Math Blaster,
but didn't know anything about Math Blaster, which is like a like I actually kind of am into that. That's kind of avant-garde.
But it's a thinker.
Yeah,
it's a thinker.
There's a layer to it.
Math Blaster, what's your real name? Be honest.
Math Blaster, but
who are you?
One question, could you validate my car?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no, okay. He's just here for validation. That is very clear. Both personal validation and car validation.
Well, I'll just step outside this window. Ah!
Oh, good. It's so important that we kill our characters when we feel like they don't have... like a future in front of them.
Especially when we don't actually know their real name. So
right.
That's been confirmed. There's no way to for a community to rally around that.
You guys play anything else?
I have not been playing anything new, but I did watch the After Party on Apple TV Plus, and that was excellent.
Delight.
It's really good.
Very it
good.
Is a really good. Murder mystery show featuring Sam Richardson and Ben Schwartz and Ike Barinholtz and a bunch of other very, very talented people. And it's created by the people who did Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street. And it's great. It's very smart. Each episode is basically a new sort of genre of movie that they're tackling as each person sort of conveys their memories of the night of the murder. So they do like a musical episode and they do like a Fast and the Furious style thing. It's great. It's been really good. I actually think Apple TV Plus has been doing quite well considering
really
it's
crushing
relatively
it. Probably
new.
My favorite Tiffany Haddish role aside from the Eric Andre. What was that Eric Andre movie? That,
Bad Trip.
Bad Trip.
Fuck. Yeah. She's really good.
Yeah, she plays the detective and she's excellent.
Yeah. I have been playing a new game with Henry. He's been sort of, so we played the Kirby game together, and that did okay. Anything in sort of three-dimensional space is a little too complex for his developing motor skills. But we've been playing Bloons, I guess the sixth game in the Bloons, which is on Apple Arcade.
It's like a tower defense game, right?
It is. It's a tower defense game where you have different monkeys. And they have different ways of throwing darts at balloons as they come down a path. You want to talk about an E for all rated tower defense game. This is it. It's monkeys throwing darts at balloons. But there's a lot of, like, it's surprisingly complex. And, like, there's a bunch of different ways to, like, customize each monkey and level them up. And there's a lot of different types of balloons that require different strategies to counter them.
And that was a moment where I was just like, what am I fucking doing with my life? Where when you said... there's a lot of ways to customize each monkey. Like,
yeah,
that was a real look inward moment.
Maybe, but it is like perfect for where he is at. Like, it is the definition of a game that is like meeting him exactly where he is. When there are not a lot of games, like he's so interested in Minecraft, but he just cannot operate two thumbsticks at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's very cool to like see him really click with a game that is just like dragging and dropping monkeys and then customizing them, and there's like all kinds of different difficulty. Like it's been really great.
It makes me wonder whether getting introduced to the analog stick with the N64 was the way to go, because you only just had one, and I was able to master that one before introduced the second one.
Yeah, I remember playing like the first Call of Duty on PlayStation, or maybe it was even, I guess Ape Escape was like the game that really launched the DualShock sort of concept, because in Ape Escape it was a 3D platformer, and you could run around with the left stick. And then with the right stick, you would swing a net around. So it wasn't like camera controls, I don't think. It was just you swing the net around to catch the monkey. So that was like an easy like transition into like a first person shooter where you have to. Anyway, all that said, Bloons TD 6 Plus, I guess, as all the Apple Arcade games have. That's a lot of there's a lot of things on there. I also wanted to mention I was looking for something to play for myself on my phone, and Chris talking about Dragon Quest 11. Are you still playing that, Chris?
Yeah, it's a good game. Yeah.
It's fucking great, and I really fell in love with that game last year, and I loved the Builders Dragon Quest games, but aside from that, I didn't have much exposure. So when the Analog Pocket came out, I picked up Dragon Quest 1 and 2 for the Game Boy Color.
Whoa.
And those are very quick, you know, all those old Game Boy like RPGs are pretty short because they're like 8 kilobytes or whatever. But I just started playing 5, which is the one that like everybody recommends, and it is on iPhone, and it is exceptional. And I feel like I have this huge gap in what I assumed was fairly comprehensive, like classic JRPG knowledge, and I am seeing like so much stuff in here that is like making me rethink my knowledge of JRPGs. It's very cool. It like goes over a person's lifespan, and you like start a family, and then your family members become your party members, and there's like time travel and like just a bunch of crazy shit that happens in that game that I am I'm really enjoying.
What was the name of that game again?
It's Dragon Quest V: Hand of the Heavenly Bride. Thank you. That's the name of it.
Love it.
Okay.
I love it.
Chris Plant?
We talked about timing, so I'm recommending All in the Timing by David Ives, a collection of one-act plays that you can almost certainly see at your local high school theater.
Yeah, I was going to say, go to a local college and just stand and wait, and All in the Timing will happen around you.
Justin, I want to hear about the game you play.
It's funny, though.
It is. It's a good show.
It's a good show. It, a lot of different variations of it. There's, like, I think, like 14 plays that make up in different permutations. Sort of like Pfeiffer's People, I think, is similar. Anyway.
But did you play any games, though? Like, where are the games? Other than,
I mean, obviously, Cache Solitaire, we don't need to dwell on that.
I'd like to. I'd like to spend a little bit of time on it.
One of these days, I want to get you guys a deal. I don't want to give it a hard plug because someone will play it and I can't have other people. I don't
And like lose $500?
Or more. I downloaded Weird West, which I think has been in like demo and beta stages, but is now on like full release. And I just think it is fantastic. It is a isometric, sort of in this, the general vibe is like think, like sort of the structure and presents itself sort of like a CRPG, but much more of a like Diablo style mechanics. There's tons of loot. You're managing your inventory and you have like special abilities that you're using. But the thing that's interesting outside of like the mechanics of it is, that's all very good. All that stuff is very good. But narratively, you're in a sort of like dark gothic version of the Old West. You know, a lot of like horror and that sort of vibe with supernatural horror like injected into it. So, you know, you've got werewolves popping up and that kind of thing. And in between the Old West settings, what's a really cool thing is that it's structured so that you're leaping, your consciousness, I guess, is taking over different bodies. And each one has their own goals and things that they want to achieve, but also like it's a completely different character with completely different abilities. Like the first that you begin with is a bounty hunter whose son is killed and her husband is kidnapped. And she has to like get her guns back out to go to track them down. And that's fairly standard Old West stuff. And your very next character is a pig man that can eat corpses after he kills people and is the only pig man that can talk for some reason. So he has to figure out why. The writing's really good. The vibe is cool. Like the presentation looks fantastic.
Former Dishonored developer. I know.
I believe that is accurate. Yes.
Dishonored worked on this.
But the gun, the action is like very dynamic. It's much less sort of static than you might expect to look at it. There's like a Max Payne style dive that you do. You get like supernatural abilities that let you like your next shot, your rifle shot will be silenced and do double damage or whatever to let you take like a stealthier approach or what have you. It's also cool because there's like an overarching narrative and then these like sub narratives are overlapping with each other and like interacting with each other in interesting ways and like finding fragments of the other stories that you've played. But really, I can't recommend it enough. It's extremely good.
Is it more actiony or more like immersive sim, like a border, like a BioShock Dishonored thing?
I mean, immersive sim games are pretty actiony.
I guess I mean like, is it more? Are you shooting guys mostly, or are you like, oh, I'm gonna hack this turret and use the environment and blah blah blah?
I mean, there's definitely those options, right? There's like you can shoot out this lamp if you want, or like, there's also a kick button that lets you kick barrels of oil or explosives or chemicals or whatever. Yeah. Into people, which is like an interesting tactical thing. You have a partner that's working with you, I think you have up to two companions. So there's a little bit of like dynamic, I don't know, a strategy of like, okay, you take this gun, I'll take this gun and you know, whatever. But, there's a lot of flexibility, I think, with how you decide to play.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Sounds like Quantum Leap a little bit. But that's good. That's one of the
positives.
Quantum Leap.
A good thing.
Yeah.
Rush, do you have any reviews that you want to thank?
How does that sound like Quantum Leap?
Because you're leaping between different people's bodies.
Oh, yeah. Problems? Leap. Yeah, understood. Yeah, I was thinking more of the time jumping parts of it. Anyway.
There's no time jumping.
Okay.
It's worth noting.
I want to thank the following people for writing reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. Lizzie McGuire, 123. No relation. Sci-Fi Riot. Winter Light, Tomorrow Jones, and Twiz Daddy. Thank you all for writing reviews on Apple Podcasts for the Besties, and thank you to everyone else who's written reviews for the Besties. We really greatly appreciate it.
And to recap the games this week, we had Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, and then we made our own game, kind of.
Sort of.
and then we, Fresh recommends The After Party on Apple TV+. I recommend All in the Timing by David Ives, playing at every high school and college theater across the country. Griffin recommends Bloons TD 6.
Plus.
And Dragon Quest V, Hand of the Heavenly Bride. Thank you for adding that.
Well done.
And Justin recommends Weird West. And next week, we have an Elden Ring spoiler episode. Is that right?
Fuck yes.
We are going to go hard on every aspect of it. So if you are looking to beat the game, now is the time to do it. Chris Plant, I'm looking directly at
you. You don't want to have this incredible finale spoil.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to beat it on that.
I know. That's okay. You're never going to beat it. It's fine. We forgive you.
I don't need to be forgiven.
Do you need me to do it for you?
No,
I'm pretty good at it. If you need me to come over, let Dad do it for you. Let Daddy do it. I'll come over. I got you.
The worst, all of you.
That's been the best.
Wait! No, you're a bad character. Learn more about Math Blaster.
No! I've got to apologize. After exiting the window, I appeared to fall on one of your cars, and I would like to read this formal statement to show my regret. Here.
You're not just going to be making
hello.
Up as you go, though. Okay.
Hello. I am Blasternaut.
Did you write it?
Also known as Blaster in one continuity, Max Blaster in another continuity, and Blaster Prime, before finally arriving on my real name, Max Martian.
The Wikipedia.
I was initially a member of the Galactic Forces. I have commanded several starships alongside friends, Spot, and the Great Galactic Commander,
who
later became promoted to the rank of Galactic
Commander. Sure, join us again next Commander. Week for Besties.
Content.
Because Shin the World's one, Best Friends.
Original continuity.
Pick the World's Best Games.
1.1, early life.